This is Spectator Radio, the Spectator's curated podcast collection.
Welcome to Coffee House Shots for Spectator's Daily Politics Podcast. Theresa May's big vote is tomorrow. She lost by 230 votes last time. What will happen this time? The Prime Minister is holding meetings with senior Brexiteers in Downing Street today, and Geoffrey Cox, the Attorney General who was supposed to be negotiating some kind of improvement to the deal, is not in Brussels and seems to have given up. I'm Fraser Nelson, and I'm joined by James Forsyth and Katie Bowles to discuss. So, James, these meetings, they don't bode well, do they?
So the thing that really doesn't bode well is that there are at the moment no plans for Theresa May to go to Brussels. So she will essentially be bringing back the same deal as was defeated by 230 votes last time round.
So whatever happened to Cox's codpiece, as he himself calls his codicil?
I think those negotiations went very badly because the EU has very little incentive to move. What it is prepared to do is to give kind of legal force to the Tusk-Juncker letter. But you know, I think the view of most MPs is not entirely right, but they feel like they've already seen that before. Now, these letters would have more legal force than they previously had, but this is still a miles away from a kind of clear exit mechanism from the backstop, which I think is the kind of minimum ask of Tory Brexiteers and the DUP. Now, so right now the government is looking down a three-figure defeat if it brought this bill back to the Commons on Tuesday. And that would be catastrophic for Theresa May. She would have bought her deal to the Commons twice and it would have lost by three figures.
But she survives catastrophes, doesn't she? And I mean, she survives things that would have knocked out any
but
number of her
pieces. The fear is that really is, that this time it really would be catastrophe because on the votes that followed on Wednesday and Thursday, she would lose control of the process. And I think it is because of this that kind of every kind of Hail Mary pass is being considered in Downing Street. Last week when Gavin Barwell met ministers, he floated this idea of saying, look, one of our problems is the EU doesn't think that what Geoffrey Cox is proposing would get the deal through Parliament, so doesn't see any reason to engage with it. Uh-huh. So could you put, and I think this idea is running up the pecking order, could you put the kind of Cox plan to the Commons, which is quite detailed and quite specific, try and win a majority for that, and then try and create pressure on the EU by saying, this is all you need to do for us to pass the deal.
And Jacob Rees-Mogg has now backed this. We're seeing senior Brexiteers who are pretty much agreeing with Barwell. Let's not have a vote on Theresa May's deal because we're never going to lose it. Let's instead vote that we would. But by the way, wasn't that the whole purpose of the amendment? Wouldn't that just be repeating the Brady Amendment?
So this is the tension, right? The Brady Amendment passed because it was quite vague. And it was both vague and sweeping at the same time. It wanted to replace the backstop alternative arrangements. I mean, if it was going to have any credibility at all, this vote would have to be very specific. It would have to be what Geoffrey Cox actually proposed. And there isn't any guarantee that what Geoffrey Cox actually proposed would pass the Commons. You know, I think it's an intriguing question as to whether the DUP would support it. We know that they were, in the words of one very senior source, not entirely happy with what Cox took to Brussels. Does that mean that they would vote for it, or does that mean they would vote against it? I mean, that is uncertain. So you would have to actually pass this thing. And if we're talking on the humiliation stakes, the ultimate humiliation would be to bring a deal that the EU has not agreed to, that the EU has rejected, and have Parliament reject it for the opposite reason. That would be totally catastrophic. But I still don't think that she can just, you know, have the Cabinet join hands and sing Nearer My God to Thee. She has to do something.
So, Katie, if there were to be a change of the vote, what would the wording be? That this House would support Theresa May's deal as long as an exit mechanism is negotiated by Geoffrey Cox? Would it be something like that?
Something like that. It depends how specific they want to go. They can look at the various arbitration proposals Geoffrey Cox put forward to Brussels, which Geoffrey Cox was then told were not acceptable. I think, as James has touched on, the more specific you go, the less chance there is of the Brexiteers backing it. Unless you do as some members of the ERG are suggesting, and you come up perhaps with a more far-fetched idea of what would pass. So, you know, that you'd have to do technical solutions. We had Marcus Fish, on one of the members of the ERG, on the Today programme this morning, and he was talking about the fact that actually there is a majority in Parliament if you say that you are going to use technology to fix the border issue. Mm-hmm. I think that is seen as, within government as something that is incredibly unlikely to fly in Brussels. So even if you have a majority for it, it doesn't mean Brussels are going to agree with it.
The Malthouse Compromise.
The Malthouse Compromise. Mm. I also think that if you look at the various things they can vote on, we had the Brady Amendment, which was supposed to show that the UK could pass a deal if you got some kind of solution on the backstop. That didn't fly in Brussels, and that's partly because we then had a promise by Theresa May that MPs are going to get a chance to delay Britain's exit if no deal starts to look unlikely. I think the only way this plan would work for a second time is if there is a majority for a specific solution to the backstop, mm-hmm. combined with a suggestion that this parliament really is willing to contemplate no deal.
Right.
You have to have the no deal contemplation to show Brussels that there is an incentive to move on the backstop. And right now, looking at Parliament, there is still a majority against no deal. So I think it's very hard to get both of those things moving, which is why Theresa May is in so much trouble, even if she does try and do this.
So Katie, you're saying that she basically scuppered her own renegotiation strategy by giving the Commons a vote on no deal.
I think she did scupper it, but I also think she was under intense pressure. So the fact that she offered that vote was because she felt if she didn't promise MPs a vote on extending Article 50, they were going to vote for the Yvette Cooper amendment, which would have forced the government
to ask for a delay.
To do that. So that's why she did it. But that pressure hasn't gone. Mm. And if Theresa May does try and move this vote, if she does try and add these caveats, you are going to get an almighty backlash from all the other MPs in Parliament, people like Nick Bowles, people like Amber Rudd. So therefore, again, you might get resignations if she does that. So I just think even though the government is right now trying to work out how to walk back from this awful defeat, I don't think there are any easy solutions for Theresa May this week.
Now, James, there was a striking poll in the Sunday Telegraph that splashed the newspaper asking people what they think should happen if the EU would not compromise. It showed public support behind no deal, significantly more support for that than either remaining and more support for that than the don't knows. Yet we've got a slight disalignment between public opinion as expressed by this poll and with the MPs' position, which a lot of it are for no deal, but the press, hardly anybody is saying back no deal. We've got the Daily Mail today chastising the Brexiteers for not falling in line behind the Prime Minister. Now, I'm wondering if MPs think that because the public mood is hardening, they might yet succeed in putting no deal back on the table. There's going to be a vote on no deal on Wednesday. Every MP I've spoken to thinks no is going to lose. But do you think there now is a changing calculation that, as Katie says, it might somehow be put back on the table, and only putting it back on the table would be able to get the compromise that Theresa May needs?
I think ever since the 2017 election, it is, to my mind, pretty clear that the Commons was not going to let the UK leave the EU without a withdrawal agreement. And that parliamentary arithmetic has not changed. And I think that no deal is so far behind in terms of the parliamentary arithmetic that even this kind of poll isn't going to be enough to shift the numbers. And so I think there is a simple question right now, which is, if you look at what, and even if you look at some of what Steve Baker is saying, that, you know, the leader of the kind of Brexit ultras, he's essentially admitting, I think, that Brexit is going to get softer or potentially be stopped if they do this. But he keeps saying that, you know, they must make sure that MPs have to do this in plain sight so that voters can see this. And even their hope seems to be that that these MPs will be punished at the ballot box at a general election that will come at some point in the not too distant future.
So in other words, they're reconciled to losing the coming votes. The question is whether they go down fighting or not.
I think this is a very dangerous strategy, because at some point you take the bird in hand rather than aiming for the two in the bush, because the two in the bush could easily fly off before you have a chance to set up a breeding programme.
I think there is a point too that a lot of Brexiteers and also just politicians in general are not even thinking about the next week, the next 3 months. They're thinking about their place in history. And Brexiteers feel that they are going to be vindicated for standing firm, and history will not be kind to those MPs who vote for this bad deal. So I think there is an element of that going on. When it comes to the public opinion on no deal, I don't think that there are the numbers currently for MPs to vote to put no deal back on the table and so forth. But I do wonder if the Commons votes to try and extend Article 50. Then the government comes back with what Brussels is proposing on an Article 50 extension. Perhaps it's nearly 2 years. Perhaps it has unfavourable caveats. I think some MPs are really going to begin to feel heat from their constituents about signing up to that. And that could play a factor in what they eventually decide to do. Perhaps backing a deal, perhaps going for a different route. I do think that the sentiment in favour of no deal is going to have some implication in what MPs eventually choose.
Right. So, James, your advice to the Tory Brexiteers was that they should basically take the bird in the hand, this little bird with its broken leg, take it in and nurse it.
Yes, I think the argument for that has got stronger because of the other things that are happening in our politics at the same time. I think it is quite clear to my mind that given the split on the left represented by the independent group and the troubles within the Labour Party, if the Tory party can produce a kind of orderly Brexit, they will likely win the next election. And the point about this is the backstop has big problems for the UK, but it also has problems for the EU. And I think that a Tory government could behave led by someone who actually wants, you know, full on Brexit, could behave in the backstop in such a way, it would be entirely legal to do this, could behave in the backstop in such a way that the EU feel, good God, we've got to end this backstop, because look at the UK, it's deregulating its service sector like nobody's business. And under this deal, we're committed to allowing their goods to circulate freely around our customs area, and that is giving them an unfair competitive advantage. And what you could then see is either the EU taking a more reasonable position on the border, you know, small traders exemptions, suddenly becoming more interested in some of the so-called alternative arrangements, or the other thing that you could see happen is the EU saying, okay, fine, but we'll keep this border open in Ireland, but we're going to step up supervision in ports on both sides of the Irish Sea to try and deal with, you know, the idea of goods coming out of GB, going through the island of Ireland and then back into the EU as a kind of back door. I think that is the way to do it.
James and Katie, thanks very much indeed. Now, if you're in London today, you can join us this evening. We're going to be debating all this in the Manuel Centre in Westminster with George Eustace, who recently quit the government, where Dominic Grieve, who's been so effective in manoeuvring the government into this position, and by Nicky Morgan and Suella Braverman. Thanks for listening, and thanks to Cindy Yu, who produced the podcast.
She said, come inside for a little lie down.